These are the things that will preserve your life. What did I say? These are the things that will preserve our lives. One of the things we must be careful concerning is this matter of circumcising our motives. Because you see, when we talk about the flesh and the spirit, when we talk about the word flesh in the Bible, it's not talking just about the physical flesh. Because it was talking to some people, say you have put off the old man. And the people were still alive. Are you getting my point? Their bodies were still there. These are spiritual principles. And let me say something to you. Flesh is not always visibly wicked. It's not that the man walking in the flesh, he shoots people. And the one walking in the spirit, you understand my point? He doesn't shoot people. The fact is that a man walking in the flesh can be nice. Let me give a very good example. Peter. Jesus described the purpose of God for his life, and Peter said to him, "It must never happen to you." And the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, "Get behind me, who? Satan." That is, that desire to preserve my life for me is a satanic operation. My life was meant to be given up. Listen, I've heard people give people, that's other people, very sound counsel. Sometimes it pains me, sometimes it will pain me that I can't say anything different because the counsel they have been given is so sound to the natural ears. Once, a friend of mine was talking with me. He was moving to a European country and all of that. I didn't ask him why. He started explaining, you know, when you get there, you can plan for the future of your children. You know how the future of children will go. Things are secure. And as he was speaking it, I was grieved in my spirit. I've improved over the years. If it's now, I will tell him the truth. That, oh boy, don't deceive yourself. There is nowhere on earth you can plan for the future of your children and you'll be certain. Nowhere. Nowhere. Listen, God did not give me life to be planning the future of my children. They are the other things that are added to the main purpose of life. I give as an example because flesh does not mean you are doing bad. And that's a mistake we make. You don't realize some of the good things we are, you know, getting involved in is pure flesh. Natural men have motives. Listen to that again. Natural people have motives. And listen, reading from that Matthew chapter 6, you will see what he was saying is simple. That the motive for what they do primarily is self-preservation. He said, "What shall we drink?" He said, "Don't be anxious for your life. What shall you eat? What you shall drink? Nor for your body as to what you shall put on." He said, "These are the things," verse 32, "these are the things the Gentiles eagerly seek." That is a natural thing. That's the uncircumcision of man, is to seek those things diligently. I'm going somewhere, please. I picked a few examples of what I call your children, your offspring. For example, you are a businessman. Please, I'll start with that one. For example, you're a businessman. They ask you, you know, people who study, is it business management? They said the purpose of business, when I was in school those days, is to what? Maximize profit. Many years later, I heard a brother who was into that field explain to me that it's no longer maximize profit, but optimize profit. Now, go and check it. Optimization of profit is another way of maximizing profit. Men just found that if you maximize it, you may kill it. So the optimizer can be yielding all the time. So as to quickly get my point across, is that the issue for a Christian? No, not at all. The purpose of business for a Christian is spiritual. Let me explain. When he was talking about, is it the prince of Tyre? He said, "Because of the multitude of your merchandise, you have filled the midst of thee with wickedness." Because of the multitude of your trading, of your business endeavors, you have filled the midst of your life with wickedness. Now, let's turn that inside out. What God is saying is this. This is the purpose of business, to fill the midst of thee with righteousness. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Listen, that is why The process of becoming rich is more important to the Christian than the riches. That is, God gave him a business so that there are two things. One, he can be a blessing to people. And number two, so that he might establish righteousness on the earth. That's all. Every other thing is a byproduct. Listen to me. Money is a byproduct. It's not the primary thing. The Christian man cannot measure success in business by how much money he made. Money is only for him a measure of how well he's running his business. What I mean is this. If your capital, everything together today is $100 million. After 5 years, it's down to $50 million. You are doing bad business. Are you getting my point? You are losing money. You are hemorrhaging badly. It's a measure. I like to quote Henry Ford in that regard because one of the bankers are still like that generally till today. Banking institutions are still generally like that. And listen, God, please help me to focus. Worldliness, the Bible says the whole world lies under the power of the wicked one, of the evil one. Are you getting my point? And that thing is not a lie. I look at the way banking is done generally in Nigeria today and the rest of the world, it is pure Satan. Your friend who's a banker is not a sinner. He's not a Satan. Are you getting my point? His manager is not the Satan. The GM is not the Satan. I'm talking about the whole structure. The structure. And listen, all flesh is grass. The goodliness thereof are like what? The flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When what? The breath of God blows upon it. Now listen to me. That is why banks in the world will always fail. No matter what you do, no matter how you structure them to prevent them from failing, they will fail. Because the way by which they are operating is ungodly, it is satanic. Why? Profit, money is the primary reason why they exist. Flesh always fails. It's not about wickedness. That's just the way it is. It's called flesh. It will fail again and again and again and again and again and again and again. I was quoting Henry Ford. That's why Henry Ford, he hated banks. He built the biggest company in the world that time and he refused to borrow $1 from any bank. Not one. Listen to me, not one. His reason was simple. Please, you must understand this thing, all right? I'm not saying you go home, go and drive all the tenants you have in your house that are bank. Come out of here. That's not what I'm talking about. You must understand the reason. He said that the problem is that they did not recognize that money was a tool and was not the object. That the business was not about money. That money is a tool. He found out that the bankers will kill a business to withdraw their money. Are you getting my point? I mean, recently in Nigeria, you know, stock market crashed at about 2 years ago, right? 3 years. And maybe you didn't lose money in stock market, or what you lost was 25,000 naira. May the Lord have mercy on you. No, sorry, the Lord had mercy on you. There are people who were wiped out. Just that Nigerians are not suicide types, you know? You know, generally, Africans don't agree to commit suicide, though. It's hard. I'm not saying they don't do that, but it's generally. You know, it's just a general thing. And this is not just because I'm preaching. It's a recognized fact, all right? I first learned it when I was in university, all right? Our professor then in psychiatry, he said, look, Africans hardly commit suicide. It's rare. You see one or two. But for were it not for that, this thing that you think just passed like that, it wiped out a lot of people. There were men who had businesses, and the businesses came to an end because they sold the business so as to go and invest in the stock market, hoping to put their money out. Of course, you know the way it is. You won't put it out now because it keeps doubling after every few months. So you leave it in there. And then one day, because it was a balloon, it had to burst eventually once you keep pumping it. Then one day, boom, the thing went down. Men who were worth 150 million naira one day, at the end of a few weeks, they were worth less than 1.5 million. That's not the problem. The problem is that 150 million naira had been borrowed. Now, why did I mention that? What did you know the main thing that caused it in Nigeria? Only one thing caused it in Nigeria. It's called banks. What do I call it? Banks. Desire lending money to people to buy stock. And this is the funny part. Everywhere in the world that has been done, this has always been the result. Most countries have laws against it. You are not allowed to be lending people money to buy because it unnecessarily inflates the stock market. Now, I'm not trying to teach economics here, all right, or business. The point I'm making is this. The bankers knew, but they didn't care as long as it made money. Banks were invented, let me put the word, to help the economy grow, not to blow up the economy into blowing. Into, you know, you blow the balloon, then it explodes. Banks were not meant to help people jump up. They were meant to help people grow up. But it's not the bankers that's the problem. It's a world system. What did I call it? A world system. And let me say it to you again. It will always collapse. And listen, the things are always tempting. They made money the aim. Money is always tempting. Henry Ford saw it long ago, and he refused to borrow one naira from any bank. He said that money is a tool. It's not an end. That is, that blowing of the stock market shouldn't have happened if we realize, we just observe it, that this money is not producing anything. It's supposed to help us produce. It's supposed to help us become more productive. Not just have money exchange hands, kill some people at the end of the day, while some are much richer. What's my message? Tell your neighbor, circumcision. You must circumcise your own motives. You must circumcise your own business. You must circumcise your approach to business, your approach to money. One of my friends, the other day I called him. He mentioned the name of one particular bank. I won't mention the name, all right? Because we're recording this. He said, their stock was very low, and I knew he knew some things about stock. And I said, oh boy, are you not buying this? He said, oh God, no, sir. I said, why not? He said, they are making a lot of money, but they are stealing most of it. He said, on principle, I won't buy their stock. That they defraud their customers. They steal from their wife. They are not watching. You put money in your account. They rake 100 naira here and there. Most people, they rake the money from Can Talk because all the money they have, there's just 2,500 naira. They are not the talking type. They don't have the mouth to talk. Are you getting my point? So they rake 100 naira here and there. They do small transactions, they call it. He said, they declare a lot of profit. He said, but sir, this thing is mostly stolen. If I buy their stock, I'll make money. But I won't buy it because the money is dirty. Again, what are we discussing? Circumcision. Remember I talked about temptation. Things in life can be tempting. Let me get back to the thing I'm saying about business. Why I mention temptation is because somebody will soon tell you that, listen, those who do it this way, they have bought cars, they have built houses. Let me say it to you again. We're talking about circumcision. You were not created to buy cars. You are not created to build houses. You understand that is to own plenty of houses. You're not created to enjoy life. All these things were given to you to help you do the will of God. So if in achieving them, you are breaking the order of God, what have you gained? That's what Jesus meant when he said that, what advantage is it for a man to gain the whole world and then suffer the loss of his own soul? What are we talking about your soul there? Let's go back to it. What is the reason why God gave you a business? Two things. One, to be a blessing to people. And number two, to establish righteousness. He looked at Satan and said, because of the multitude of your trading, you have filled the midst of thee with wickedness. What does that tell us? The multitude of our own trading is supposed to fill the midst of us with what? Righteousness. Let me give you an example. Do you know under Jewish law, you are not allowed to lend money to a man in need at profit? At interest. Listen, if you look at it from a business perspective, it doesn't make sense. And God now commanded that your heart should not even be hard, so that because you know you won't make money from it, you now refuse to lend. An example is this. Every 50 years, the people were supposed to do what they call, a jubilee, a year of jubilee. And during that year of jubilee, you cancel all debt. And 50 years was not 50 years from when you borrow money. 50 years was 50 years from the time 50 years started. I don't know that you get my point. That is, if you borrow, you could have borrowed money in the 47th year. That's 3 years to the year of Jubilee. And God now commanded that don't refuse to lend money because year of Jubilee is closed. Because you can imagine, in the 49th year, all the jagudas will start borrowing. The funny part was that God said, don't refuse just because the year of Jubilee is near. Let me tell you something about God. If you obey his will, you will see more blessing than you can ever imagine. That is, those who refuse to become hard and stop lending money in the 47th, 48th, 49th year, you understand? They will end up being richer still. Even though a lot of the money they will have lent out will have been wiped out, wiped away, on, that is, the debt will have been canceled in the year of Jubilee. This is the point I'm trying to make. God realized, this was why he did like that. You are supposed to help your brother, your sister live. You are supposed to help him produce. You are supposed to help him prosper. You are supposed to help him suffer. So the money you lend him must never, listen, be an encumbrance to his prosperity. You and I know today, whichever way it arrived, anyway, it's called Satan. Most businesses in Nigeria can't borrow bank money unless you are trading, sharp, sharp trading. They wanted to start Islamic Bank. Nigerians were shouting and complaining. I hope you know we need more Islamic Bank than we, all these nonsense things we call banks around. My issue is not with Islam. But non-interest banking is good. But don't see, I don't want to talk about that. Let's just leave that one. All right? I'm trying to talk about you. All right? Tell your neighbor he's talking about me. Let's talk about you. Why are you in business? You're not there to make money. What did I say? No. You are there to bless people and to establish righteousness. In a country like ours, we need people who will totally circumcise their business and say, here, we don't give bribe, we don't take. We look at you in the face and tell you, go to hell. We're not giving you a dime. And listen, let me tell you something about Christianity. Christians should stop being nice. We are too nice. You know, I seem to have this thing about being nice. I hate it these days. What I mean is that, tell people the truth. If you, listen, this money, I won't give you. And if you, because of this, accuse me wrongly, God will punish you and everybody that bears your name. And sir, I will ensure it by going to church and gathering my brethren. We will spend the whole day shouting, Holy Ghost fire and destruction from heaven over your head. It is easier for me to do that than to give you this 5,000 naira. Are you nano? It's called circumcision. Now, I told you the other day, my wife was having a discussion with some people. And they're talking about government business, you understand? Doing business with government. And they always collect, you know, 10%, 20%, 40%, 30%, and all of that. And so the issue is that this is what you need to feed your family, and what do you do, what do you do? When she brought the matter up with me, I said, it's because you thought that feeding your family is in the hands of business government contracts. If you started business from the beginning and say, I'm sorry, I don't inflate prices for anybody. Let me tell you, there will be many businesses you will not get. One of the things that confuses us sometimes when we hear testimonies of, I refuse to give them, I just told them, I won't give them, but do you know that they still gave me the job? Praise God. That's a good testimony, amen? Is it a good testimony? Uh-huh. But it is not always like that. Most of the times you will say, I'm not giving you, they will not give you the job. Most of the time you will refuse to share money with anybody. You are going into the place, you say, listen, my quote. For this particular job is 7.5 million. It's okay. This is a beautiful one. You are going to make it 15 million. We'll give you 7.5. We'll take the balance 7.5. Then I'm not doing. We won't give you. Say, I know. Because I was not called to come and make money. I was called to come and tell people like you that people like me exist. In fact, I didn't think you would give me. My trip this time was to let you know I become the judgment for you. When somebody tells you that people like this don't exist in this country, now you have a reference that people like me exist. As I'm leaving, come and check. Don't think I have money. I hired a bike to bring me here. But I'd rather go back on a bike than drive your Mercedes-Benz of wickedness. What are we dealing with? Circumcision. It's called what? It's called what? It's called circumcising your business. That I'm not here. Listen, God did not give you the assignment in life to make money. Being rich in life is a blessing. You can't scheme yourself into it. You can't sow, you know, I like to always add that one. You can't sow seeds into it. People say when you drop a light seed, you bind the hand of God. You can't bind him. You smoke. Bind who? This is how people get rich in life. If you want to be rich, it's simple. You go home. As soon as you get home today, kneel down. Say, Lord, my name is Jabez. Oh, that you will bless me indeed and make me very rich. Thank you in Jesus' name. That's it. After that, you go about your life, your business with a circumcised mentality. What do I mean by circumcised? You remove the natural spirit out of it and take in the kingdom spirit into it. That's what it means. This is not a choice. It's what will preserve your life. It is what will preserve your business. It's what will preserve your career. It's what will preserve you so that you can live and do the will of God. Please get what I'm trying to explain. The world says it's about money. You know, I told you then, they said that Apple is the most valued, is the most, how do they call it, most capitalized company in the world. Let's talk from a spiritual perspective. It's a joke. You make phones. You shouldn't be the most capitalized company in the world. You make phones. How many phones do you make? You are more capitalized than ExxonMobil, for goodness sake. Something's out of order there. They said Nokia, iPhone makes more money than Nokia. True or false? It's true. The question is this. Who sells more phones? Nokia or iPhone? Nokia does. But everybody here, pull out your phones. I'm not sure I'll find one iPhone in here. Okay, maybe one. Two maximum. But should we start counting the Nokias? All I need to do today is tell you, put on your phone. You're here, tan. I know that's a Nokia. But the issue is that their phones are generally small. Those ones that sell, the markup on each one, all right, is narrow. But they serve more people than iPhone can ever hope to serve. I do not consider Apple the richest phone company in the world, therefore. I don't. Because wealth is counted on the number of people you're able to serve. Once, I don't know how many of you know Tata, the Indian company. Now, what I'm about to say happened long ago. Tata was making money. They were doing okay. They were able to hit like a 2% profit margin in a year. Now, if you know the volume of business they were doing, 2% is huge, counting absolute amount of cash. But relative to the amount of money they could make, all right, it was small. Then they got one company to, you know, these auditing firms, I think they came from the U.S. to come and streamline their activities and all of that. This is a summary of what happened. I don't know whether they affected, I read in the papers, one of these magazines. The auditing firm decided that they gave all their staff health insurance or health coverage. That was not good. It was eating money. They gave their staff I can't remember the details. Maybe the number of people they employed, there were too many. That was not good, so they should cut it down. Let's make a long story short. They were about to trim off a huge chunk of the workforce, remove a lot of benefits that those people were giving their staff, thereby increasing their profit. The question is that, what is the profit for? I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. You say, no, we have too many people on board. The people that we have, we are giving them too much benefits. The benefits are too many. So for that reason, we are unable to declare a huge amount of profit. Listen, that is satanic. It is because of the way we are counting what they call profit. In case you do not know, you've heard of global economic financial crisis. You've heard of it? You've heard of it, say amen. It's been going on for how many years now? For quite a number of years. I mean, by the time Obama won the first election, the thing was in a full swing. And now the next election is a few days away. So it's been going on now for over 5 years. This is the interesting part. People of God, listen to this. As GM was shutting down factories in America and in Europe, as Chrysler was shutting down factories, as Peugeot was shutting down factories, Rolls Royce was doubling its shifts so as to produce luxury cars. I don't know whether I get my point. As men were getting poorer, the world was seeing the highest number of millionaires it had ever seen before. They were building more boats than ever built. What they call mega yachts, they were building them. Men were getting richer and richer. Simple. Why? Because Satanism was in full manifestation. The companies they were trimming people off was so as to make more money for the man who doesn't come to work. So the man buys a bigger jet, a bigger boat. Are you getting my point? Bigger cars. Rolls Royce doubled their shift. That is, maybe they used to work during the day and close at night. They had to bring people to work at night because of the amount of orders they were getting. But they said there was global economic crisis. I know it was the judgment of God anyway, but I'm just bringing out something to try and explain a principle to us. You understand? I used to say that, what do you mean by economic crisis? Well, there was no serious war to account for it. There was no serious famine to account for it. What is the issue? The money did not reduce productivity, if anything, increased, except that the money went to different hands. That was why they came to Tata and told Tata they were not making money. Tata was serving plenty of people. They said, why are you serving this number of people? You guys will be able to buy more boats, that is yachts, for yourself. You'll be able to buy more Rolls Royces, more private jets, if you just lay all these people off. Why? Because men thought that business was about money. And I'm explaining to you, Christian, child of God, business is not about money. Business is about service and about establishing righteousness. Money is a tool and a byproduct. You know the story I've told a number of times, talking about this establishing of righteousness. A number of people I like to use to tell that story, two of them predominantly. In fact, both of them were voted as the most successful entrepreneurs in the United States, of one, Henry Ford, of all time, by one particular university, and Mary Kay Ash as the female one of all time. This is the interesting thing about Henry Ford. If you our last magazine, that's the first one, Secrets and Truth, you see a lot of quotes. Or if you go to our website, those quotes are there. It's from the book, My Life and Work, Henry Ford. The point about it is this. This is part of it I like most. Is that the success of this company is not about the machines that bear the name Ford. The cars, you know, the trucks, stuff like that. Is that in summary, I had disagreements with people on how to do business. The success of this company is a proof to them that they are wrong and I'm right. I don't know whether you hear what I said. For example, the man said, listen, a man can't be working for you and you'll be paying him this amount of money. This is interesting about people. You know, the other day, I'm digressing a bit, but you'll see my reader, just illustrate. People, when they sit outside there, they look at your works and try and decide why you did those works using their own spirit as a measure. I don't know what I'm saying. For example, now, assuming now that I'm a very stingy man, I hate people. I would rather see a man die of hunger while I waste my food than give to him. And I'll see you give somebody maybe 500 naira. Because I'm a wicked soul, are you getting my point? I instinctively believe that there must be something you want to gain. That you can't just give somebody that money. And I will be arguing and fighting people. That I saw this boy manipulate people. What? Which screwdriver did he use? No, it's not a screwdriver. I saw him bring a 500 to give that guy sitting beside him. He said, why do you think it's manipulation? Why else would a man give another man 500 naira? Are you getting my point? Because I'm a crook. Because I'm a wicked soul. I interpret every action in the light of my own spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, this is what I'm making. People started analyzing the life of Henry Ford. And they said that what he did was that by paying that high amount of money, he was able to secure the best workmen. I don't know whether I get my point. You're not getting what I'm saying. So now they go to business schools and teach those methods on how to secure best workmen. When the man started it, it was not to secure best workmen. He just said, you can't be working for me and still be poor when I have the money to pay.